You staying there? Are you going to stay there? You can. It just doesn't ever happen. That's all right. Great. Right there. Good. Don't be careful, though. I might pull you into something we're doing up here because I do that. Two Old Testament lessons today. One from the Psalms, starting at Psalm 77, verse 1. I cry aloud to God, that God may hear me. In the day of my trouble, I seek the Lord. In the night, my hand is stretched out without wearying. My soul refuses to be comforted. I will call to mind the deeds of the Lord. I will remember your wonders of old. I will meditate on all your work and muse on your mighty deeds. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is so great as our God? You are the God who works wonders. You have displayed your might among the peoples. With your strong arm, you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph, Selah. When the waters saw you, O God, when the waters saw you, they were afraid. The very deep trembled. The clouds poured out water and the skies thundered. Your arrows flashed on every side. The crash of your thunder was in the whirlwind. Your lightnings lit up the world. The earth trembled and shook. Your way was through the sea, your path through the mighty waters. Yet your footprints were unseen. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. And from 2 Kings, we hear the story of Elijah, the prophet, passing on his mantle to Elisha. It's an interesting story. If you know it, you probably know it because you have heard it through the song Swing Low, Sweet Chariot. Hear the word of the Lord. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel. Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives, and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the both of them went on. 50 men of the company of prophets also went and stood at some distance from them. And as they both were standing by the Jordan, then Elijah took his mantle and rolled it up and struck the water. The water was parted to the one side and to the other until the two of them crossed on dry ground. And when they had crossed, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I may do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha said, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit." Elijah responded, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet if you see me as I am being taken from you, it will be granted you. If not, it will not." As they continued walking and talking, a chariot of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them, and Elijah ascended into a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha kept watching and crying out, "Father, Father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." But when he could no longer see him, Elisha grasped his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He picked up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. And Elisha took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water was parted to the one side and to the other. And Elisha went over. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. I want to begin today by telling you about a great man whose name was Leo Soderquist. He was a remarkable individual, a figure of Axtell, Nebraska, where I lived for nearly a decade. He was the first person to teach me how to fight a fire, particularly a field fire. And if you have ever been to Nebraska, it is nothing but flatland corn and white people. And when there is a fire, it is a very dangerous thing. A field fire can literally destroy acres and acres and acres of land and thousands and tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars of productive crop. And so we were fighting a field fire one day, and he trained me how to do this. He said, climb in the back of that truck, grab that hose, and when we get out to the fire, point it at it and use the water to put it out. He said, you got it? I said, I got it. He said, you're trained. Go. That was the end of my training in fighting field fires, but it worked. Leo, this great man who had been the chief of the fire department, was an in-the-line-of-duty death for us as a department. We had come back from a call. We were in the bay of the fire department, and he had a fatal heart attack. It was something to watch the band of brothers there come together, his own son working on him, doing CPR. And I remember being at the hospital when they pronounced him dead. I was standing behind most of the firefighters, and when they called it, you could literally see them all go. It was unreal. But the Soderquist family had given, at this point, I think it's 100 years of service to the Axtell Fire Department. Reuben, Leo's father, was a fire chief. He was also a very skilled cabinet maker and owned a business in downtown Axtell. Don't get too excited, because downtown Axtell was only two blocks long, but they did have a business there. Leo took over the business after it was done. Leo's son, Sean, who was my age, who is now the assistant fire chief, took over that business after his dad passed, and his son, Colin, is preparing now to do the same. Colin, by the way, is a junior firefighter. When I preached about this text in Nebraska, I did something like this. Y'all know Colin Soderquist, right? He's an ornery little cuss, and he's just like his dad. And then I said, and y'all know Sean Soderquist, right? He's an ornery little cuss, and the people caught on, and they're like, and he's just like his dad. Y'all know Leo, right? He's an ornery cuss, and he's just like his dad. Reuben apparently was just like his dad, too, but I hadn't lived that long to know that. The people got into that because they knew that there was a succession there of not only commitment to the community, but commitment to a business and quality cabinet making. And this is sort of the kind of thing that we see in today's text, where Elijah knows that he is not long for this world, and that his business of being a prophet, which has been incredibly difficult, remember that he's the one that goes up against Jezebel, and she threatens his life, so he goes and hides in a cave. His profiting has been very difficult, and he's about to be taken up into heaven, and he knows that he must pass on this mantle. He must find a successor for himself. And it's not an easy task. It's neither an easy task for Elijah to find himself a successor, nor is it for Elisha to pick up that mantle and say, I'm going to be the guy. Who wants to have the queen running after him, trying to kill him? I remember once having conversation with Sean Soderquist about what it was like to come home. He had gone away for about 10 years and was living in Lincoln and working in the business world. And he said, I finally decided that it was okay for me to walk in my father's footsteps. It took some real soul searching for him to get to that place, because it's easy to lose your identity in the midst of all of that. And yet he decided that what he needed to do was be part of the family, following the footsteps of those who had gone before him. And Elijah, of course, leaves it up to God to decide. He doesn't say, well, I'll give you a double portion of my spirit. No, Elijah says, if God wills it, that's what will happen. If God wills it, that's what will happen. And look at how God provides. Elijah is taken up into heaven, and Elisha, first of all, we must know that Elisha is totally committed to the process of following in the footsteps of Elijah. Three times Elijah says, you can go, you can just stay here, I'm going on without you. And Elijah says, no, no, I'm going with you. I'm committed to this, we're going to do this. You got to commit to the process, right? It's easy. It would have been easy for him to give up and say, no, yeah, I'll just stay here. I don't need to keep going with this. But he didn't do that. Elijah gets taken up into heaven, and Elijah tears his clothes in grief and sadness. He thinks his effort in following the process has been for naught. And look what God does to provide. He has no clothes, so God gives him a mantle. God gives him a garment to wrap himself in. God makes sure that in the midst of uncertainty, Elisha is cared for. And Elisha isn't quite sure what to do with all of that. And he's pretty sure that even when he walks back to the people, they may not believe that he's the successor. But he takes the mantle and he strikes the water. And again, God provides and parts the Jordan River so that he can walk in Elijah's footsteps once again and walk on dry land across. So people know that his persistence in following Elijah, that his evidence that God has provided for him is real. Because God demonstrates through his provision. And I see your faces and you're looking at me like, well, that's a good story. What does that mean for me? You're not looking that way. You're looking like, oh, that I'm really inspired by the Bible today. But some people are looking that like that. You know, here at Vance, in the past, let's say, 30 years, all has not always been rosy and cheery. Everybody has not always rode in here on unicorns carrying puppies. Church is full of people. Sometimes things go wrong. But at this point in the life of this church, I believe that we are committed to discern the will of God for our future. And this text to me is a vast encouragement to us, because what it says to us is, like God provided for Elisha when he was searching for the direction to go and whose footsteps to follow in, God provides. God makes sure that we are taken care of. If we stick with the process, God will make sure that we are cared for, that we have what we need, and that we can move forward walking on dry land in the footsteps of those who have gone before us. Remember, fellas, this is Vance Memorial Presbyterian Church. We stand on the shoulders of many great saints of God. Look around you at what God has already provided. Stick with the process. And I hope by the time the summer is over that the leadership of this church is able to present to you a vision for our future that will catch hold. Come with me and catch the spirit of Vance. Thanks be to God. Amen.